So as we are gathered, and I say gathered because no matter where you are this morning, we are gathered in the Spirit. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at some things that happened in the life of the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter, and the message is called The Deep. The Deep. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5, and probably not this week, but next week, John 21. Two incidents in the life of Peter and in the call of Peter in his walk with the Lord. So again, we're in Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to go ahead and read this passage in verses 1 through 11 in just a moment. But first, I want to say to you that this is the kind of thing that if you are a note taker, you will want to grab a piece of paper, because there will be some thoughts and some things that you may want to reflect on later. You know, I know that a lot of Christians struggle with a daily devotional or having something to study from time to time. And I'm actually giving you something that you can take. Most of the time on Sunday, the message is like this, but these two messages especially, you can take this, and there will be enough spiritual thoughts, spiritual food in this, that you could take it and you could take elements from it and study further during the week and make it something that you lay before the Lord and you say, Lord, speak my heart on a day-by-day basis throughout the week. Unfold this to me. What does it mean to me personally, Lord? Speak to me in my life. Again, we'll get to the scripture in a minute, but I want to quote from Psalm 42, verse 7. You don't have to turn there. In that scripture written by David, the word of God says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. And then it goes on to say, all of your waves and billows have gone over me, Lord. All of your waves and billows have gone over me. A simple passage of scripture that describes, I believe David was probably sitting and looking at a waterfall, and there's the noise of a waterfall that is, nothing else is like it. It's a roar, but it's not a harsh roar. It is a awe-inspiring roar. The New Testament says in the book of Revelation that the voice of God was like the voice of many waters. And we think about Niagara Falls and the many waters from different angles that are falling across that precipice, that waterfall, and the immense sound, awe-inspiring sound that it makes. But David is speaking about something as he looks at that and as he describes it. He's talking about something far greater than a natural waterfall. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. There is something in the depth of God, and I'm going to explain this, but it's like seeing that waterfall and the sound of many waters, which reminds David of the voice of God. Something deep in God is always calling out to something in the depth of man. Deep calls unto deep. Paul says in the New Testament, he says that spirit speaks to spirit when he refers to the Spirit of God communing with the spirit of man. There is a depth in God that's like an ocean. It has never been completely discovered. There are things underneath the ocean that have never been seen by human eyes. And in the depths of God, there are things that have never been apprehended, never been understood, never yet been revealed to man. And that depth of God is an endless, fathomless ocean of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of the things of God. But the depth of man and the spirit of man, it's different. That depth is not a wondrous depth of things undiscovered, but it's a craving. It's like a well that is dry, waiting to be filled with living water. It's a deep place, but it's a place that longs for something that only God can give. I want you to hear this. Deep calls unto deep. The depths of God call unto the depths of my spirit. God is calling, and there's something in us that craves. There's something in us that desires what God has for us from the depths of his spirit. In God, we hear the voice. We hear the crying out of the lover of our soul, who cries out to us into the very depths of our spirit. But man has a dilemma, even saved man. Man has a dilemma, a problem when it comes to deep calling unto deep. And that is his two natures, his flesh and his spirit. There is part of him, the spirit, which is longing to respond to that call. As the deep of God calls unto the depths of man, the spirit within wants to respond to the spirit of God and be one with the Lord and be in harmony with the Lord and experience the possession of having Christ in our lives. But there's that other part. There's the flesh, and the flesh fights it. The flesh wars against it. So let me just revise our statement and say deep calls unto deep, but there's a war within my depths that causes me to fight. One part of me desires the depths of God, and the other part of me fights against the depths of God. And there's this struggle that I have to come through in order to come into alignment with what God has for me, which leads us, all of this leads us to this man named Simon, whom Jesus renames Peter. Simon Peter, he is called in some of the scriptures in the New Testament. Jesus transformed this man's life, but it was not instant. Jesus transforms Simon's life into the life of Peter. He changed Peter's name long before he changed Peter's character. And that's the way it is with us. He takes us from being children of the enemy of our soul to being children of God. He calls us Christian where we were once lost and unbelievers. He calls us saved where we were once unsaved. He calls us these things. But it is not instant that we begin to experience the transformation of our character in the very depths of our being that God wants for us. And so we're going to be looking at this transformation of Peter. And some of the things that happened is the Lord, as the depth of God in Christ, called out to the depths that are within Peter. And what I want you to do as we go through this, this is a message. This is about a man with a restless soul. Women, this is for you as well as for the men. But Peter was a man, as I look at him, I see a man who is restless. I see a man who is impulsive. I see a man with a temper. He's got pent up anger inside of him. He has unresolved issues. He has frustrations, and he is a man who is deeply, deeply dissatisfied. And I believe that this word is for some, even in our congregation, who are deeply restless, deeply dissatisfied, disappointed at what life has thrown at you, and not yet in the place where you want to be with the Lord. And there's this great, great hindrance. There was a great hindrance in Peter's life. Peter knew that he was a sinful man, as we will see. Now, our message centers around these two scriptures again, Luke 5 and John 21, these two incidents. And what I want to tell you is, before we read this one, is that the first scripture is where Jesus calls Peter the very first time from his fishing and invites him, calls him to become a follower, to be a follower. Come and leave everything behind and follow Jesus. Well, that sounds like the end all. If I'm willing to sacrifice and leave everything and follow after the Lord, then surely I've arrived. And so Peter is going to leave and he's going to follow the Lord. And we find that he follows him closely for 3 years. 3 years, everywhere that Jesus goes, Peter goes. And then we find the great failure in Peter's life, and we find the death and the burial of Jesus and the resurrection and the confusion that's reigning over the disciples because they don't know now what their future holds. And in John 21, it's where we find that Jesus comes to Peter a second time, much like the first time. He's gone fishing again, and Jesus comes. He calls to him once again. And in both of these passages of Scripture, we are going to see the incredible, incredible grace of God, the grace of the Lord. So in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.'" Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. "But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." We look at this as the height. We hear the messages that call us to forsake all and follow the Lord. What does it mean to follow? What does it really mean to follow? And we see that for 3 years, these men were close to the Lord. We're going to see comparisons between this scripture and the other one next week, the one in John. We're going to see contrast between these two scriptures. For right now, I want you to understand that in both scriptures, at both times, Jesus comes to Peter in the context of fishing. Jesus comes to Peter right where he works, right in his job, right at his center of his livelihood. And he calls him, deep calls unto deep, at the noise of the waterfalls of God. In both of these passages, Peter has failed. We find in this passage that Peter has said, "We have toiled all night." But the picture that we see in the natural is only a reflection of the spiritual. And we find that Peter is describing something about his entire life. "We have toiled all night and have caught nothing." And that would describe many, many people, and perhaps some of you who are listening this morning. "I have toiled all night and caught nothing. I have worked. I have sacrificed. I've done all of these things and I've caught nothing. I've not gained anything. I'm still the same man, the same woman that I was years ago." We're going to see this continue, and we'll come back to it in a little while. In both instances, Peter has failed. In both, Peter's deep need is revealed. In both of these passages of Scripture, it's like God shows us a picture in the natural, something that's truly happening in the natural, but it's like there's a veil that is pulled back, and you can just look and you can see the spirit realm. You can see Peter's heart. You can see that there's another meaning to all of these things. In both of these, the incredible grace of God is revealed. And to me, the centerpiece of this passage of scripture is found in verse 4, in the second part, where Jesus says to Peter these words, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Launch out into the deep. I wonder what Peter felt. I wonder what he thought when he heard the voice of the Master. Now, he's heard him teaching. It's not the first time. He's heard him teaching, and we could trace this through the four Gospels, and you would see he's already heard him teaching. Jesus has already been in the boat with him teaching before he tells him to launch out into the deep. He knows that this is a man with a word from the throne of God. He knows that this is a man who has insight into his heart, insight into spiritual things. And now to hear these words, launch out into the deep. Peter was not an ignorant man. Sometimes he's portrayed as this ignorant, all of them as ignorant fishermen. They were well trained in the Jewish scriptures. They knew the word of God of the Old Testament. They had sat under rabbis and listened to their teaching. They knew what it meant to study the law of God and to know the law of God. And certainly Peter has heard the words of the psalmist David. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. I want you this morning to just let, and only the Holy Spirit can do this, but let those words have weight. Let those words have life and meaning to you this morning. Hear the words of the Lord himself. Launch out into the deep, believer. Launch out into the deep. Peter hears these words, and somehow I think he knows something's up. This is about more than fishing. Launch out into the deep. Let down your net. Your nets for a catch. If ever there was a simple command with multiple meanings and layers of meaning, this was packed with it as Jesus spoke these words. In fact, if you'll think about it for a moment in the natural, it's a command. Let down your net. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. It's a command. But in the spiritual, to Peter, it was an invitation. He is telling him something in the natural. Do this. Take this action. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. But spiritually, something in the depths of God, spoken through Christ, the Son of God, is calling out to the depths of Peter's heart. Launch out into the deep, Peter. Launch out into the deep. We'll see what this means in a deeper way in just a moment. One day, years later, after 3 years of following Jesus and then a lifetime as an apostle after Jesus ascends to heaven, many years later, the Romans would come and they would arrest Peter. They would bind him. They would lead him away to be crucified like the Lord. As his life, this, if you'll allow me a little liberty here, as Peter's being led away to his crucifixion, like most people, I believe that parts of his life flashed before his eyes. And I wonder if this wasn't one of the scenes that came back before him, this one scene that so radically changed his life. Launch out into the deep, Peter, and let down your nets for a catch. Launch out into the deep, believer. These simple words that can change the course of an entire life. Jesus is saying, Peter, you've always fished in shallow waters. You've always fished in shallow waters, and now there is nothing in the shallows to sustain you anymore. You've always fished in the shallow waters where you can see the bottom and you can see the fish that are swimming around in their schools, and you know what's there. Where I'm going to take you is deeper than you've ever been, where you cannot see the bottom, Peter, where the water is dark, where it requires faith, heeding my voice, heeding the voice that comes from the depths of God. Many of you this morning, this is your problem. Shallow lives. Shallow thinking. Shallow living. Shallow prayers. How many times do we lay our head on the pillow at night? God bless so-and-so. God bless so-and-so. Take care of so-and-so. Shallow prayers. And I'm asking you this morning, don't you ever grow tired of the predictable? Don't you ever grow tired of water that's so shallow you already know what's in it all the time? Don't you ever hear something from the depths of God, the deep, calling unto the depths of your soul, saying, launch out deeper. I have something for you. In the deeper water, it's hard to see the bottom, if at all. You can't see the bottom generally. And it's darker water. But Isaiah, the Lord spoke through Isaiah and said, I will give you the treasures of darkness. I will give you the treasures of darkness. It's true that God is light, but his treasures are sometimes hidden in darkness. Surely you've had those moments when you sense that there's something calling you deeper and further. There's a waterfall. There's a waterfall of the noise, a waterfall. There's a literal noise of the voice of God, the depths of God calling to us, and we drown out a waterfall with cares, worries, self-preservation, self-direction. Surely this wasn't just about a catch of fish. No, this is a context for the invitation that Jesus is going to give Peter. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets was just a preparation for the call, follow me, because it's a launching out into the deep, Peter. Follow me and I will make you. We have to turn, we're not going to do it this morning, but we have to turn to, turn backwards to the same incident in Mark to see that he says, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Follow me and I'm going to do a transformational work in your life. Follow me, I will make you to become something. Follow me and I'm going to lead you into the purpose for which you were created. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. For Peter, that meant an evangelist, one who takes the word of God to those who are lost. What these words must have done in the depths of Peter's spirit. You know, we said in Psalm 42:7, said, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. But the second part said, all your waves and your billows have gone over me. The power of these words, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch, had to have broken upon Peter's soul like a waterfall. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. We can see it in just a moment when we see the reaction that Peter has to the miracle that takes place. This is like a tsunami breaking over the soul of this restless, angry, agitated, dissatisfied man. Sick of life. Weighed down with guilt. Shot through with failure. On his last leg. Troubled soul. Response is immediate when he follows. He says, we've toiled all night and caught nothing, but nevertheless at your word. You see, there's something within your depth that hears the word of God and knows that it's not the word of man. There's something in the depths of your soul that responds, that hears and says, this is the word of God. God is calling me to this deep place. And I can do nothing but respond, or else I just continue to walk in my misery. And so there is this recognition that this is a righteous man, and there's a recognition that this is the righteous power of God when they catch the multitude of fish. And when the nets are so full that they're breaking, Peter looks at Jesus and says, get away from me. Depart from me. Not because he's not amazed at what's happened. Not because he doesn't recognize that it's God. Not because there's not still something in the depths of his heart longing. But because he says, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I'm not, this can't be. You can't come into my life and me participate in your life the way that I am. This is a man who we know from this one statement, he is racked with guilt, loaded down, weighted down with unresolved issues, with unrepented or unforgiven sins, guilt in the face of an encounter with Christ. I wonder how many today sit in church on Sunday morning and they hear this and there is that deep calling to deep. But they won't respond because of the guilt. Maybe you're bound up, you've got this weight on you, and somehow you think it negates what God can do in your life. Somehow you think that it disqualifies you. Even though he is speaking to you, launch out into the deep. Guilt in the face of an encounter with Christ is magnified. What do I mean by that? I mean, when we carry, you may carry this guilt around, and you may know that you're a guilty man, but very likely you put it out of your mind, or at least it's on the back burner. But in the face of the holiness of Christ, a confrontation, an encounter with the Son of God, suddenly the guilt is magnified. You see the depths of your own sin and the righteousness of the Lord. Peter is undone. Undone. Just like Isaiah when he had the vision of the Lord and he fell on his face and said, I am undone. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Peter is undone, and yet here we see this collision of guilt and grace. I love it. This collision of guilt and grace, guilt in Peter, grace in the Lord, undeserved favor flowing from the Lord. Jesus doesn't respond the way you would think he would respond. Jesus doesn't respond with a sermon about guilt and how to get rid of guilt. He doesn't respond with a call to repentance. He doesn't respond by giving Peter the four spiritual laws of how to be saved. He issues an invitation. Peter says, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me, and I am going to make you into someone who finds the purpose for which they were created. Follow me, and I'm going to make you no longer a fisher of fish, but a fisher of men. He doesn't tell Peter, now Peter, you go take a week and you get your heart right, then come back, and then I can accept you. Notice also when Peter says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, Jesus doesn't walk away from him. He invites him. I long, right now, my heart longs that every person in the sound of my voice who struggles with guilt and with dissatisfaction and unresolved issues and all of this turmoil going on in the inside, and at the same time, sometimes getting a glimpse or hearing a little bit from that waterfall, deep calling unto the depths of your heart, that you would hear what Jesus is really like. It's not that repentance isn't necessary, but isn't this the heart of repentance? Follow me. Follow me. For if we follow him, repentance is the changing of heart and the changing of direction. It's not just tears that we shed because we've been confronted. Repentance is when our life changes direction and we launch out into the direction that Jesus is leading. And we follow. Think of all the times you've held on to guilt and you've pushed him away. Yet here you are again this morning. Because deep calls unto deep at the noise of his waterfalls. And so there's this twofold invitation. Peter, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers. Follow me, number one, and I will make you. I will transform you. I will form you. Number two, they are not simultaneous. And this may be a struggle to grasp for just a moment, but I want you to bear with me and I want you to follow me. Follow me is immediate. Follow me is immediate. Peter left his boat, physically followed the Lord. But to make me to become something is not immediate. It's a process. You say, well, so what? Well, we're going to see that Peter followed for 3 years and still he hasn't become. And we won't finish all of this morning, but Peter followed Jesus in close proximity for 3 years. And at the end of those 3 years, he has not become what Jesus said he was going to become. In fact, Jesus dies on the cross and Peter has not become what Jesus said he was created for. You thought his invitation was simply to follow him, so you were baptized years ago. Maybe you came down the aisle, you accepted the Lord, and you were baptized. And you began to live a life that in some way follows Jesus. But this following is only part. Because following has to lead to something. It's not just following, as you're going to see in close proximity. There's something else that has to happen. You see, when Peter was told that he would become a fisher of men, I just think about all the wonder of that moment when, first of all, he sees the miracle and then he says, get away from me. And the Lord just ignores it, says, follow me. I will make you to become something. So I want to ask you this morning, when was Peter living out his full purpose? When was he a fisher of men? When did those words of Jesus become true? Was it when the disciples came down from the mountain? You remember when Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration? And they came down and the other disciples had been in the valley and there was a man whose son was demon possessed. Those disciples down in the valley had tried to cast the demon out and they could not. Peter didn't step up and walk in power. He didn't lead. He didn't do anything in this moment. It came down to Jesus saying, this comes out by much fasting and prayer. And Jesus cast the demon out. So I'm asking, was Peter a fisher of men at that point when they could not do what the Lord could do, when they could not do what he said that they would do? Was it the night before the crucifixion when he denied the Lord 3 times and said, I never knew him. I've never known him. I don't know the man. He cursed, threw a fit, and told the woman by the fireside, I never knew the man. Well, he was following. He was in close proximity even that night. 3 years he's followed. You see, following, listen for just a moment. Following involves closeness. Closeness in proximity. But closeness is not oneness. I'm giving you something important and life-changing. Following is not oneness. Some of you have followed him. But following is not oneness. Closeness is not oneness. Closeness and following is not the same thing as possessing. If you just picture Peter, I know there's far more to it than this. There's teaching that takes place and many other things. But think of 3 years with Peter simply following and mirroring. 3 steps behind Jesus, everywhere he goes. You can follow me to the other side of Phoenix and back and not even know me. I'm not suggesting that he doesn't know Christ. But I'm saying that there's something far deeper than that. That following has to lead into. Following is the doorway into a oneness, into a unity. Jesus was going to take Peter from following to possession, from being a follower to being a possessor of God, to be filled with God. Following God is not complete without possessing God, being filled with God. Jesus used the words, abide in me. He didn't just say at the end of those 3 years, he didn't say anymore, follow me. He said, abide in me and let my words abide in you. There is, in Christ, there is a oneness of purpose. Peter had to come to a oneness of purpose. There's a oneness of character. Peter doesn't have the character that the Lord wants him to have. There's a oneness in mind and thought. There's a oneness in life and essence. See, again, you can follow closely, but closeness is not conquering, is it? Closeness is not conquering. Closeness is necessary, but it's a first step. But it does not guarantee victory. You say, what do you mean? Closeness does not guarantee victory. And we'll see it in the life of Peter. Because you see, you can follow and still fall. That may not sound right, but most of you will say, I know a time in my life I was following, and I fell. I was overtaken by sin. You can follow and still fall. You can follow and still fail. You can follow and still forfeit purpose. You see, the flesh wants to follow him in the good and pleasant places, doesn't it? Peter followed him up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, the glory, the glory. The Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was transformed in his raiment and his face were like blinding white light. And there were Moses and Elijah with him. This grand scene that was so overwhelming and so filled with miraculous power of God. There's awe and there's wonder in all of that. Peter followed him there. And it was a wonderful thing to revel in. Peter followed him. When he healed the multitudes, Peter was right there, close proximity, enjoying it. Oh, the limelight. Everyone likes the limelight. Fame is a trap for the soul. Flesh loves the spotlight, but flesh hates Gethsemane. Flesh loves the spotlight. But it hates Gethsemane. Peter cannot follow him. If you will notice that in following, in the physical picture of Peter following Jesus, the closer it comes to the crucifixion, and the more it costs, and the more painful it is, even his following falls short. When he comes to Gethsemane, he follows him halfway, but he can't follow him all the way. And Jesus prays alone. Peter followed him when he cast out demons. Oh, the power of God. Jesus even shared it with the disciples, said, you go out and you use my name and you cast out demons and they did it. The joy. In fact, the joy of having the power was so great that Jesus had to correct them and say, don't rejoice because demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. Flesh loves power. You can follow the Lord when all of those things are good. I think of all the movements in the church where power is taking place in services or where fame is being celebrated and entertainment is taking place. The flesh can just rejoice in all of that. So when Jesus comes to Peter this first time by the Sea of Galilee, Peter is failing in his natural life, failing at fishing. We have toiled all night, Master. I hear in those words the cry of some of your hearts. If you just listen with spiritual ears this morning, you can hear your own heart, some of you, crying out with such dissatisfaction, such bitterness, such longing, because you've heard deep calling to deep. And your deep, or your depths, cries out to the Lord and says, I've toiled, and I have toiled, and I have toiled, and I have failed. The problem is many will not admit that failure and let it come to an end so that Christ can have a beginning. Master, we have toiled all night, caught nothing. What about you? We move forward 3 years. Peter follows Jesus, close proximity. 3 years, Jesus is arrested. Peter follows him even then in close proximity and ends up denying the Lord 3 times in one night. And if you remember Jesus, they lead Jesus out through the courtyard. Peter's there. He has denied Jesus for the 3rd time. And Jesus looks at him and those eyes, when Peter's eyes and the Lord's eyes meet, Peter is so overwhelmed with failure, with grief, with guilt for what he has done. This is the follower. Listen, he followed, but he failed. And I really think that until we learn that in our following, we can still fail. We've not really learned what it means to depend upon the Lord. Peter is taken back, I believe, to that moment by the lake. And he remembers when he said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Here he is 3 years later, having followed the Lord. The Lord looks at him and he hangs his head in shame. And I believe in his heart, he's saying, I'm still that same man. And that's what some of you this morning are saying. I'm still that same person that I was, and I have followed him. I've followed him and I have failed. You can follow Jesus to church. You can follow Jesus to the outreaches. You can follow Jesus to visit the sick. You can follow Jesus to Bible school, to enter ministry. You can follow Jesus on the mission field. None of this guarantees that you won't fall and say like Peter, I never knew him. The Apostle Paul says, take heed when you think you're strong, lest you fall. Now, is this a message of defeat? We're drawing to the end of today's message, but is this about defeat and that you can't overcome? No, no, no. We're going to see that Peter is going to become. He just hasn't become yet. He's followed for 3 years and he hasn't become. But deep is still calling unto deep at the noise of God's waterfalls. God's grace far outweighs your failure. That is the important thing this morning. Is that God may have called you to become something and you may not be there. But understand his grace He doesn't leave Peter alone. He comes to him the first time. He comes to him. He looks at him with those eyes the night that he betrays him, the night that he denies him three times. And still he doesn't give up on Peter. And we see in John 21, he comes to him again, just like he did the first time. Deep calling to deep. There's something this morning for you in the depths of God. There's something. I can't say what it is for you. There are unknown things yet to be revealed. There are things that the Lord wants to show only you for your life. He wants to take you from that place of following and failure to a place of victory. But just remember that the more it costs, and the harder it is, that the Lord is still there and he's still calling and does not negate his call. But in the following, Peter's followed for 3 years and he's failed. But there's still Gethsemane. There's a cross. There's an empty tomb. Peter will not become, Jesus will not form him to be what he's called him until after these things. He has to go through the cross. He has to go through the resurrection. God's grace outweighs any failure that you may be experiencing. So I want to take you to this as we close this morning. I see Peter restless. He's a restless soul. Turn with me to John 21. John 21. And we're not going to read all of this scripture. We'll come to it next week. I want it to be in your mind today, though. How Jesus came the first time that we read in Luke, called Peter initially when he had been toiling and had caught no fish. In chapter 21, verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Now remember, he is resurrected, but they've not all had deep encounters with him. He has revealed himself, but it's not been made clear yet what's going to happen next. What's going to happen to me, Lord? Peter is so disheartened. If you look, it says that, and in this way he showed himself, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Now there's a lot that we can talk about later, about how you keep trying to go back to what you once were. Even when God has called you and even when you have followed, sometimes there's a place where you don't know what he's doing. You don't see him now. You don't know where he is and you don't know where he's leading. And Peter just says, I'm going back. I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you. They went out and immediately got into the boat and that night they caught nothing. And I'm just going to tell you, when you try to go back, you will never catch anything. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus has veiled his appearance. They don't know who he is. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And we'll look next week at the significance. He's already in the first call. He says, launch out into the deep. He's not going to tell him again to launch out into the deep. But now the specific directions are there. Because sometime, even when you followed, you thought you launched out into the deep. Sometimes you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Sometimes you need to hear a fine tuning of his direction where he says something more clearly. Turn to the other side of the boat. Throw out your nets. So they cast and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. This morning what I want you to see is this restless soul. The restless soul of Peter. And identify, if you are like that, identify with Peter this morning. Be honest. Be real. Say, I'm restless. I'm just like Peter. I have failed. I've toiled. I'm holding it back right now, the emotion, because I feel that if I don't keep myself braced and strengthened in my own strength, I'll fall apart. Maybe you're carrying a heavy load. Maybe you're carrying a heavy load for others. Maybe the weight of the world is on your shoulders. Maybe if you don't catch enough fish, someone's not going to eat. And maybe you're always thinking and looking and remembering sometime when deep called unto deep. And you know that there's something else for you. Jesus said, I did not come for those who are well, but for those who need a physician. He wasn't talking just about healing and doctors. He was talking about the spiritually whole and those who are not. He's not saying that he didn't come for everybody, but he's saying those who think they're okay don't need me. Or at least they don't recognize that they need me. But I have come for those who know they need a physician. This morning, do you know that you need a physician? Do you know that your heart is restless and it's not satisfied? So it's not whole and it needs a physician. Peter wasn't satisfied. He was so dissatisfied, and I think part of his dissatisfaction was with the religion of his day and all of the hypocrisy that he saw everywhere he looked. And by Jove, if he was going to have anything, it was going to be something real, something genuine. And he had not seen it yet until this man looked him in the face, said, launch out into the deep. It was like the heavens opened and everything changed. I believe Peter was an angry soul. I don't know the things that had happened in his life or the frustrations or just the temperament that he inherited perhaps, but he was quick to blow off steam. He was quick to let his temper get the best of him. And I believe that there was a deep anger inside of him. And at times that anger took control of him. An angry soul, impulsive, and he was a guilty soul. Peter knew that he was sinful, and he knew that Jesus was not. And all of these things about Peter reveal great, great need. Oh, won't you look this morning into your own heart? Let the Lord search it and be honest. Won't you just recognize the need that you have? I have loved ones who know the truth in the Word of God, but don't recognize the depth of their own need. What a lie it is to live your life thinking that you're okay, or knowing that you're not okay, but burying it underneath all of the cares of life. Dissatisfied, restless, angry, guilty. Is that you? Have you followed? Have you followed? Maybe you even forsook something. Peter left his boats. Maybe you left some things behind. Maybe you stopped doing some things to follow the Lord. Is that enough? Did it bring you satisfaction? Did it bring you the meaning in life? Did it bring you to the place where he said he was going to make you a new creation in Christ and all things would pass away and all things would become new? You can follow and still fall, because following is not the same thing as oneness. Possessing Same heart, same mind. We see Peter comes into all of this. All of this promise becomes his. We'll come back to that next week. This morning I'm going to ask you, as we draw to a close, that you would bow your hearts with me, and we're going to give these things to the Lord, and you have an opportunity, a moment to say, Lord, help me. Don't depart from me. Don't depart from me. I not only want to follow you, I want to follow you all the way. And I want to go wherever you want to take me. I want to have the same mind and the same purpose. Let's just take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer.